Hello everyone and welcome back to the Rebellious Wrestling Podcast. My name is Randall Williams and today we are going to be reviewing Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live from last night, and we are going to be predicting NXT UK and 205 Live. So, if you don't know already, on Mondays I'm going to be predicting Monday Night Raw and Tuesday Night SmackDown. On Wednesdays, which is today, I'm going to be reviewing Raw and SmackDown and predicting the 205 Live NXT and NXT UK. And then on Friday, I'm going to be reviewing NXT UK and 205 Live, and I'm going to be discussing my wrestling thoughts and opinions, and I'm going to be talking about the news and rumors, of this week. All right, but first, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw, in my opinion, it was a solid show. There weren't any bad moments. There wasn't really any bad thing that I come up with. Other than the fact, we never really saw that big change that was. That Vince, Stephanie, Shane McMahon, and Triple H were talking about, but hey, like it's the first week. Like, you can't expect a big change to happen in the first week. All right, you have to give it time. All right, I believe that quote unquote fresh start and new era is going to happen, but like I said, it can't happen overnight. Like, it's gonna need some time. Probably next month we'll see some change, but as of right now, I don't see change happening for the shows, because again, it takes time for that stuff to happen. Also, we had not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six NXT call-ups revealed. We had Lars Sullivan, who's been announced, prior to this, but, you know, he was announced tonight, he was announced on Raw and SmackDown Live as well, and then we had Lacey Evans be announced from NXT, and then we had Nikki Cross, who is actually on SmackDown, actually, for the a one-time match between her and Becky Lynch. And then we had EC3 from NXT be announced, who is actually supposed to be called up to the main roster a long time before this, when he lost the Velveteen Dream at NXT TakeOver. After that, he's supposed to be making his debut main roster, but then he had a concussion, and that, of course, it delayed his call up. But now he's making his, but now he's going to be making his main roster debut, and then we had the team of Heavy Machinery from NXT be announced to make their call up. These call-ups are, I think, what's best for business, because, well, I mean, like you have a charismatic, you have a charismatic team of Heavy Machinery, who I think should go to SmackDown. Raw is doing better with their tag division. They're getting new faces, they're getting new tag team matches, which I like. You know, there's names up on there. On SmackDown, however, we keep on getting The Bar, New Day, and the Usos. All right, Heavy Machinery, I think they should go to Attack on Life. EC3 should go to Raw. Honestly, he should go. I think that they'll put him on SmackDown, but I honestly think that he should go to Raw because he's more of a Raw talent. He's got that that heavyweight look to him, you know, because Raw is the land. Because Raw is the land of like the big guys, you know. Whereas SmackDown, we had like much like smaller guys, so he should be going to Raw. Lacey Evans, it should be going to Raw. Like it's pretty obvious that she's gonna be going to Raw. And on SmackDown, well, she should be going to SmackDown, but to put her on Raw, because like I said, the land of the huge, larger than life like superstars over there. But I think she'll do better on SmackDown. And then Nikki Cross, who is obviously going to SmackDown, well, because her team, Sanity from NXT, who is now on SmackDown, who is now like on SmackDown, well, they're on SmackDown, and Nikki Cross is a part of that team. It makes sense to put her on SmackDown. Like, if you put her on Raw, where's the logic in that, you know? Because it doesn't make sense to shield her away from her, like, her NXT tag team, you know? So, it makes a lot more sense to put her on SmackDown with Sanity. And, that's all the call-ups. Wait, no, not all of them. Lars Sullivan. Lars, I think that he would do better on SmackDown because Raw, it already has, like, the heavyweights on there. SmackDown doesn't have, like, any. It doesn't have, like, that big monster guy on SmackDown. Raw has Braun Strowman, the big monster guy of the Raw brand. SmackDown, who do they have? Big E, who is not like a monster heel. He's a big baby face, you know, with the New Day. And Big Show, he's not even on TV anymore. Like, he left after that last match. After I think he left after the SmackDown Absolute Showdown. I think he left after the SmackDown after Survivor Series. So yeah. So SmackDown, they need that monster heel on that brand. But can you go with the Raw review? Kevin Owens was announced to be coming back soon, along with his best friend Sami Zayn. Thank you guys, we have been missing these two. You know that saying, you never know how much you truly love something unless it's gone, right? Until it's gone. Kevin Owens was on the main roster. I know he was good, but I was like, he's Kevin Owens, you know. He's good on the mic. He's okay in the ring, but I don't really like him that much. But then as he was gone, I was realizing that, man, this guy is an incredible performer, especially with the shape he's in, you know, But he's an excellent performer. And he is great on the mic, so I'm happy he's coming back. And then Sami Zayn, who I always thought was like the most underrated guy to ever step foot in a WWE ring. You know, he's coming back. You know, like, That's great. It's pretty amazing, you know. And then we had like the gauntlet match. The gauntlet match the gauntlet match for the number one contendership for the Raw Women's Championship, which is unfortunately still held Ronda Rousey, but you know, okay. Natalya won the gauntlet match, and she is going to be facing her best friend next week on Raw, Ronda Rousey. I honestly think, and I'm gonna say it right now, I honestly think that Natalya is going to turn heel. She's going to turn heel on Ronda Rousey. They have this this feud. They feud up until, let's say, about like Fastlane. Yeah, Fastlane, because that's Raw's. Yeah, until Fastlane or Women's Chamber. I don't know which one they're doing next year, but you know, have them feud up until Fastlane or Elimination Chamber, and then have Becky or Charlotte interfere, you know, and then boom, that sets up the match. Or you could just have Becky Lynch or Charlotte win the Women's Rumble, and then they challenge Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship, then WrestleMania, and instant main event. Boom. Because we did see that earlier this year when Asuka, you know, the current SmackDown Women's Champion, was initially a part of Raw, but then she challenged Charlotte Flair, who was on SmackDown, you know. So that could very well happen again. But I think Natalya is going to turn heel. It's because it makes sense. It makes sense. And honestly, if you have seen Natalya's work as a face and a heel, that you should know that Natalya is better. It is much, much more better as a heel. Like, a prime example is a rivalry with Nikki Bella on SmackDown Live last year when Nikki returned. Like, that is a very good example of her heel work. And like, she was the most like hated heel, you know, on SmackDown Live. So that was pretty good. So yeah, Natalya is turning heel next week. Oh, and also, I don't want to forget, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, their feud is still, they're still building up their feud, but not that great as I would have expected them to. Because their past rivalry in 2014, when Dean was the face and Seth was the heel, you know, like that was like the best rivalry of 2014, and no doubt, you know. But then now it's like it's getting stale, kind of. The first 2 weeks of the rivalry was pretty good. Dean played with Seth's emotions because, well, he knows how to hurt Seth, and he knows what can build Seth up, but also can break him down. Seth doesn't know what can hurt Dean, because all he knows is that Dean Ambrose is a crazy guy. That's all he knows about him. That's all he knows. He doesn't know how Dean Ambrose can be hurt, you know. For the first 2 weeks was good, that storyline, but then after that it became almost boring. It wasn't boring to the point or I don't watch anymore, but it was boring to the point where I was like, okay. Like, I was still a watch rivalry to see how it goes, but I'll still be like, oh, okay, they're fighting each other again. Oh, okay, you know, like, nothing brand new, you know? And then their match at TLC was disappointing. And Vince was reportedly angry at that. And Vince was angry at the match, which was being reported. You know, he's angry backstage at the match, which I would be too, you know. And then on Raw, it didn't really do much. Here's what happened. Dean Ambrose had an open challenge. Tyler Breeze returned to TV, finally. And then they had a fairly decent match. And then Dean Ambrose is on the microphone. He's talking about Seth. And then Seth, he's disguised as one of Dean Ambrose's personal bodyguards, like in the mask and the SWAT team suit, you know? But still, it wasn't nothing new. Like, I feel like we should be getting more from this, you know? And I don't know what to say about that right now. Other than the fact that it's getting boring right now. We need something more from Ambrose and Rollins. And then Baron Corbin is not your manager anymore. Thank you, God, he's not your manager anymore. Because I hated him as your manager. But then again, he's a good heel. Like, he's a great heel. You know, at that, you know, he was getting booed out of the building on that Raw. So that was a pretty good heel work from. And then we had Heath Slater as guest referee. Which Baron has been tormenting. And then we had Chad Gable, Bobby Roode, the current Raw Tag Team Champions. And Apollo Crews finally getting like TV time, thank you. And Kurt Angle, the former Raw General Manager, you know, like in a 4-on-1 handicap no disqualification match, a great way to get Baron Corbin booed, and another great way to get everyone else cheered. A very great way to do that. But also, we had a fatal 4-way tag team match for the new number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships. This probably like the most shocking win I have ever seen. Because in a match where the Authors of Pain, the former champions, the B team, not that good, the Revival, and who was in that match? It was the B team, the Revival, Authors of Pain, and I don't know who else. I think that was it though. I think that was it. But the Revival picked the victory there. That was shocking, and I'm actually happy for them, because in NXT these guys were on the show. Like, these guys were the top stars there. They had match of the year after match of the year. They had a 5-star match after 5-star match after 5-star match after 5-star match. Definitely great. So overall for Raw, a solid show. And I cannot wait until next week, actually. Oh, and also, a quick thing. Next Friday, I'm gonna be recording a little bit earlier than usual, because, well, I'm going to be going to the Friday night TV tapings of Monday Night Raw. What's their airing on Monday? You know, they're taping. I guess you're wondering, they're taping it because they want to give the wrestlers a break to spend with their family. So they're pre-taping a Raw next week on Friday, which is in Detroit, Michigan, where I'm from, and get on Monday. Now let's talk about SmackDown Live. SmackDown Live has been killing Raw, all right. And even with the new change, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, it doesn't need to be changed. If you think about it, it doesn't need that much change because SmackDown's has always been better than Raw, in my opinion. But let's get into the review. Outside of the show, we had Paige be relieved of her general manager duties because, the McMahon family are going to be overseeing Raw as SmackDown from now on. I'm pretty sad to see her go because I wanted her to be on TV still. But I just hope that she gets into another big time TV role, you know. But then we also had the Usos talk about how they are the best tag team, which they are, actually. Think about it. They're the best tag team talent-wise and marketing-wise. The New Day, they used to be the best tag team. Now they're just getting, stale. And The Bar, I think they're good, but I think that they're better as, as singles competitors, you know. That's just me. I think they're better as a better off on their own, but and as a team. But okay. But that's my opinion. Then Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, they come out and they keep on and they talk about how they haven't been on the TV for 4 months because of always being the New Day, the Usos, and The Bar week after week after week. Thank you. They're finally on TV again. That's what I want to see. And then during the match, Sanity, they return to TV and attack both teams before The Bar could get their hands on Usos and on Usos and the Good Brothers, Anderson and Gallows. You know, a great way to get these two teams back on TV. In my opinion, two of the best teams WWE has right now, because Anderson and Gallows, they have proven that they are amazing, you know. In WWE and outside of WWE, they have proved that as a tag team, there are very few guys who can hang with them in the ring. The Sanity, they have one of the most interesting tag team gimmicks of causing chaos anywhere they go, you know. And it's not just generic chaos. It's not just they talk about being a chaotic when they're really not. They take a chaos to a whole different level. You don't believe me? Wow, watch NXT. Watch NXT. Alright, watch when they were in NXT. Then tell me if I'm wrong. But a great way to put these two teams back on the show. Then we had Samoa Joe and Jeff Hardy segment. Jeff Hardy, I'm saying this right now, he hasn't been, he's not known for his mic skills, all right? He's known for his high-flying abilities, but he's not known for being, like, the best talker on microphone. Samoa Joe, he has been known for that, it being a great talker on microphone. But Samoa Joe's talking about how, like, his demons are coming back to haunt him, and how he's gonna, like sort of back, you know, to his past addictions with alcohol and drugs and everything like that. And Jeff Hardy says, you know, I think you're insecure because you've been on the main roster for 2 years and haven't won one championship. After he said that, I'm like, yo, he's not wrong. Like, Samoa Joe, even being the best talents they have, he hasn't won a championship yet on the main roster, which he should have, you know, but he hasn't. And like, after he said that, I was like, Samoa Joe, you're done. Like you cannot respond from the truth, you know. Samoa Joe, he tries to attack him, and then Jeff Hardy, twist of fate, you know, a great build for a rivalry, a great build up, and another great segment for SmackDown. Then we had the Miz talk to Vince McMahon backstage, and he and Vince said, you know what, I'm gonna need you to prove to me that you're worthy of being in this company, and then the Miz, you know, then the Miz. Yeah, he had a tag team match with Mandy Rose against R-Truth and Carmella. And they won, you know. And the Miz Mandy Rose, they won. Not mad at that, because, like, the Miz Mandy Rose, I think they're going to be, like superstars, like to watch out for next year, because WWE... This secretly protecting like the Miz on SmackDown, and also protecting Mandy Rose on SmackDown also. So next year, watch out for those two on SmackDown Live. But I'm mad at that because like, cause R-Truth and Carmella, you know, like they're a team now that if they lose, fans will still love them because they know that they're not being seen as threats, you know. They're being seen like a buddy cop duo right now, not a buddy cop, but you know, like an unbelievable pairing, as what I would say. You know, like they're a team that the fans know are there just for comedy reasons. You know, like they're there just for comedy, you know, and the fans, they know that, and they're not going to stop cheering them, you know, because they know that even if they lose, they're still pretty popular, you know, and likable. Then we had Becky Lynch talk about Ronda Rousey and everything, and Charlotte Flair also as well. Then Asuka, you know, talks about how she's like a great champion. And Becky and Charlotte say, "Well, hey, you haven't beaten either of us in singles matches, you know." So Vince comes out and he says, "Hey, all this talking is necessary, and if you want to prove something, it will end the ring." And that's when Naomi came out, and she was like, you know what, I want a match and an opportunity right now. So then it was Naomi versus Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship, you know. And a pretty good match. I liked it. you know, an enemy lost, but like, it was pretty obvious that it's pretty obvious that she's gonna lose anyway, you know. Then the main event, we had AJ Styles with Mustafa Ali in a tag team match against the new Daniel Bryan and Andrade Cien Almas. This was like one of the greatest tag team matches I've ever seen. Oh, and it was also announced that Mustafa Ali is now a permanent member of the SmackDown Live roster. Great addition, because if you guys watch the 205 Live, like, you will see that Mustafa Ali is like probably like one of the best cruiserweights in the world, and not just in WWE, but like in the world, but in wrestling, like in general, you know. He puts on like a wrestling showcase every time he's in the ring with somebody, you know. And then the tag team match, he's over here like doing like a handstand on Andrade's Cien Almas' arm when AJ has it in an arm lock and everything. He's on like flips. He's on like flips and everything. That match was great. Then not only that, Mustafa Ali, he pinned Daniel Bryan. Mustafa Ali pinned the WWE champion in that team match. Now, here's what could happen. Two things could happen here. One, WWE are saying that, hey, we're pretty impressed with him, and we're going to give him like a major singles push. Or B, because in the match, because when Mustafa Ali hit the 054, you know, like the inverted 450 splash, and when he hit the 054, his energy move, it was like a bump, thinking about Daniel Bryan, like it was a mistake, but it was a mistake during the move, the way he landed on Daniel Bryan. So I just hope that he does not get like punished for that, like anyway. I just hope he doesn't punish that for anyway, because Mustafa Ali, he's one of the best guys in the company right now, and he should be pushed like to the moon. If I were Vince, I would be like, push this kid to the moon, you know, or push this guy to the moon, because I'm a kid, you know, because I'm basically a kid, you know, I'm a teenager, like I'm a teen, but like I'll be considered a kid, so I can call. But I'll be considered a kid, so I'll say push this guy to the moon, because he is amazing in the ring, and he'll continue to prove that, you know. So overall, SmackDown Live, amazing show. And next, I'm gonna be predicting NXT, 205 Live, and NXT UK. Alright guys, welcome back, and now of course we are about to predict NXT UK and 205 Live. First off, let's start my favorite show, you know, my favorite show in WWE and wrestling in general, NXT. Tonight, Dominik Dijakovic is going to be in action. Now, I saw this guy on the indies, and I also saw him at a recent NXT live show on in Detroit. Now, I'm being honest. When he made his entrance, everyone, including me, were like boo, Who are you? We don't know you. Get out of here, man. Like, we don't want you here. You know, we were clowning him. You know, and I'm making fun of him. But after the match, he had a match with Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. And we knew he wasn't going to win. But after the match, he gained everyone's respect. He's that good in the ring. So I cannot wait to see him in action tonight. But you also have Heavy Machinery in action before their main roster call-up. You know, Heavy Machinery are easily, like, the most, like, popular and charismatic, not the most charismatic, but like one of the most charismatic teams in NXT and in the whole company. And they're also the most like most popular with the crowd, you know. Like, they're the most over, you know, with the crowd. And that means, like, you know what that means in wrestling? What that means, the crowd is liking you, you know. And that means, and you are a popular star to them. And that's what being over with the crowd means, you know. So I cannot wait to see them in action. Dakota Kai and Io Shirai versus Jessamine Duke and Marina Shafir, I think it is. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. But yeah, we have that match tonight. That's gonna be very good. I can already tell it's gonna be very good because I've seen the in-ring work, and Io Shirai has proven she hasn't even had like a match on TV yet. But I saw her at NXT TakeOver War Games, and she impressed me. And she only did one move, which was a moonsault or a backflip from the top rope. And I was like, yo, I have to see more of her. And Dakota Kai has proven that she is like a likable baby face, and she can be like is serious at times too. It's gonna be really good. Jessamine Duke and Marina Shafir, they are best friends with Shayna Baszler, you know, like the current NXT Women's Champion, and Ronda Rousey, you know, the current Raw Women's Champion, since they were all in UFC, and they have been like called like the four horsewomen of the UFC, you know. So I expect Shannon to get involved in this match here, and then Dakota and Io Shirai, they find somebody possibly someone we have not seen before, or someone, you know, who's just likable, you know. Like Candice LeRae can be one. Mia Yim can be one. Probably. I don't know about that one. But they can like find like a third person, you know. And then in the main event, we have Johnny Wrestling. Johnny Gargano versus Aleister Black in a steel cage match. Oh, this is gonna be exciting. This is gonna be amazing, and you know, it can be more. Johnny and Tommaso, they have been teasing, like reforming a heel DIY, which I would love to see, cause DIY like as faces were amazing, but now we have like the more darker Johnny Gargano, like the more guy who does not care about other entertainment, and you know, not the best thing is about this too, about his heel turn, he still acts like he's a face, because like he high fives and like the fans, he keeps on like going to the crowd, he acts like he's a face, and that even it makes it better with his heel turn, because like he's like a he's like a delusional baby face. Like a more unstable and illusional heel who acts like he's a baby face, you know, and that's an interesting character to have. And Aleister Black, he's been killing it. He's been killing it, like not in a bad way, in a good way, in an amazing way, because he's been like the star of the show. I have to say this, him and Velveteen Dream are my favorite NXT stars. Him and Velveteen Dream, you know. And the steel cage match, it can only improve with both of them. Because Gargano, with his new, a heel turn and villainous side that he's been showing, the steel cage match can help him, develop more into that unstable heel. And Aleister Black, well, he's a mysterious, dark and cryptic, a kind of a baby face, and the steel cage match can help him out also. I do expect this, that Tommaso Ciampa, he interferes in some way. In some way, shape, or form, Tommaso Ciampa is going to interfere. And also, we're going to have, I think it's going to be Bianca Belair versus Shayna Baszler at the next NXT TakeOver, you know? If that happens, then okay, that will be an awesome match. If that does happen, which I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but I think it's gonna to happen at the TakeOver. I'm pretty sure. I'll have to look into that, but I'm pretty sure that they're gonna be facing each other, you know, and I take over. So if that does happen, then amazing. All right then. Now for 205 Live predictions. Well, for 205 Live, we have Leo Rush, you know, making his return to 205 Live. Leo Rush has been like the best manager we have seen in recent time. Because not only is he a great manager for Bobby Lashley, he's also a fantastic wrestler. And not only that, this guy is WWE's Spider-Man. All right, he's super athletic, agility, his speed, his he's all around great. And then of course we have the continued storyline with Brian, Kendrick, and Akira to Zawa, and Drew Gulak and Jack Gallagher. You know, that's what's gonna happen tonight, and it's gonna be a street fight tonight. Was gonna be an exciting main event. Brian and Akira and Drew and Jack, they have been pretty good as a rivalry. You know, this tag team rivalry has been pretty good. I will say this, Brian Kendrick, he's not that good of a face, you know. It would have been better if it was Jack Gallagher and Akira Tozawa as the faces, Drew Gulak and Brian Kendrick as the heels, because Brian, he's not good as a face. No, he's better as a heel. I don't think he's bad. I'm just saying, like, he's better, like, as a heel. And then we had Hideo Itami last week. You know, who was it fucking about him? It was someone was talking about him. I think it was Tony Nese was talking about him. Backstage, I'm not really sure. It was someone who said that that Hideo Itami deserves respect, you know. But I still don't know who it was. I know who it was. It was Arya Daivari. Arya Daivari was the person who said that Hideo Itami has earned his respect. So, you know, like that could be like culminating, you know, like tonight. We could very well see Arya Daivari helping Hideo Itami beat Noam Dar, you know. So that would be pretty good. Now let's get on the newest show to WWE, but also probably the best show next to NXT. We have an NXT UK, which I'm gonna be predicting, you know. So see the full rundown here. We have Jordan Devlin versus a Wild Boar Mike Hitchman in a match. Jordan Devlin, I want him to win the UK Championship because he's my favorite. And he and Pete Dunne have been my favorite UK wrestlers ever since like the first UK tournament, you know. I hope he wins, and I hope that he like he gets a push in NXT UK. Now also Mustache Mountain, you know, Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, the British, and now it seems that the British Strong Style are coming back, as it looks like they're focusing on Gallus, you know. But I think we have to see Pete Dunne, Trent, and Tyler reform that stable, you know. I'll be very good. Because last week we saw, you know, Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, you know, like with Gallus and them fought, and I'm pretty sure that Gallus assaulted them, so and then what else can we have? Let's see. Oh, we also have the new United Kingdom champion, Rhea Ripley, or Ripley. I don't know how to say her name. I'm sorry, guys. I just don't know how to say her name. Rhea Ripley, you know, like is gonna be defending her NXT championship against Isla Dawn. I think that's how to say her name. And then we have Fabian Aichner versus Eddie Ryan. Fabian Aichner has like started like one of the most like underrated, you know, NXT division. Eddie Ryan is I've seen him before, and I think it was in WWE. I seen him like on indie somewhere. I forgot where it was, but he's pretty good too. This match would be pretty good. And Eddie Ryan, you know, like he has proven in NXT UK, he's very good too. So, and also main event, we have a Mustache Mountain versus Saxon Huxley and Tyson T-Bone. Their names, man, I swear. For NXT UK wrestlers, get some like some better names, alright? Because y'all, whew, my gosh, your names are so like hard to pronounce, and so like different, you know. Mustache, Saxon Huxley, and Tyson T-Bone, you know, this is gonna be a good match. I can already tell. First of all, Mustache Mountain are great tag team together, you know. Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, and Saxon and Tyson, they're not like people to like sleep on, you know. So I'm looking forward to tonight's shows, and I cannot wait until they come on. All right, guys. So this has been the Rebellious Wrestling Podcast with Randall Williams, and I will see you guys on Friday, recapping the shows, and also discussing my wrestling opinions, and also discussing the news and rumors for all of this week. All right, see you later, guys.